Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Here we are. We are on the air. Joining me, of course, is Pat and John. And we have some encouraging words for you. When John shared with me the Red Sea splitting Shekinah glory, we're just going to lean forward with anticipation.
Bring it.
Deep anticipation of how our lives are going to be fundamentally transformed. Fundamentally transformed by what John is going to share with you today.
This is payback for Marianne. Wow. This is payback. I can't wait. Payback for the Lost Adventure.
That's
if you missed yesterday's program, I want to encourage you.
You're breaking up. Listen.
Listen to the first hour.
We're talking
in
about
its entirety from the beginning.
It's a long time. It's like the whole program's up, you know.
Hey,
it's amazing.
It was worth it.
Well, I'm just glad you enjoyed that. That's very good.
Oh, we had a great time.
That's very good. I've got a couple of things I'm pulling out, you know, just to help out, encourage women, stuff like that.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Joy, fellowship, things of the nation.
Faith, and, hope, love.
Yeah, right. Yeah, faith, hope, love, and joy, and fellowship. Look at that.
Hey, laughter is good medicine.
It is.
His forehead is laughing. It's
I can't even see his eyeballs anymore. What happened?
Right. It's the joy.
I've got some jokes of myself.
He does. God, keep them to yourself, man. Keep them to yourself. Yeah, Teresa tells me you tell them all. I got it. You know, Teresa can do us all.
Oh, she's good.
That's what I hear. I'd like to see it one day.
No, you saw a little taste, but she can bring it back.
She can bring it.
But she doesn't know. We can do Teresa.
Oh, yes, we can.
Give a shout out to Teresa this morning. Hey, my goodness, what is going on? It looks like your mayoral candidate stepping out of the race, you know, being a former.
My? No, I don't have any mayoral.
Isn't that your homeboy?
I don't have any mayoral candidates at all in any region of the country.
Yeah, we've heard that one before.
Oh, please. Who's stepping out?
Huh? Who's stepping out?
Is he stepping out?
You just pulled the signs out of your yard last night. No, we don't want to discuss. I don't want to discuss politics on the air because it's obviously useless.
Yeah, exactly.
Even think about it. Just some crazy things are going on. You know, there's you look at one thing in life and business room, for example. I don't know. We have a financial collapse.
Mm.
The American people who earn the money, you know, get whacked, you know, 50% of their savings, the value of the 50% of their homes, you know, all the lose their homes, lose their jobs. And then so how do we remedy that? The few 500 some odd people we sent to Washington, D.C. decided, I think we will send billions of dollars to New York, to the banks, and we'll just help out the American people. We'll just give money to the banks. We'll just help them out, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll help the people. Let me help the people. The people that charge you money when you write a check that doesn't make, you know, we're going to send them money to help you out. You know what I'm saying? So that's how he bailed out America, was they took American money from Americans who just lost their money to give it to people who really didn't have any money. All they had was American money they were making money off of, and resolved the issue by funding the banks.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think, you know, well, you know, that's just one peculiar response to how to handle things out. Because you would think, I mean, just basic logic and wisdom. And, of course, you know, don't get frustrated. Most don't think that way.
Do we have that today?
Basic logic and wisdom. Okay, if you wanted the banks to have the money, if you wanted them to have the money, and it was the American people, it's a government by the people, for the people, it's the people's money, you know, that type of thing, and they're the ones that are hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just issue those billions of dollars to the American homeowners?
Mm-hmm.
And you could even put it in a voucher format and let them give that money to the banks.
Right.
And let the bank say, thank you for the mortgage payments. And it resolved everything.
Sure.
But now they're in the same boat. the banks are back in the same boat. They're not even lending our money to us. You know, supposedly they're going to get real difficult to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And now Fannie and Freddie Max are all messed up. And it's like, I don't think this is for the people anymore.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because how simple, the banks would have gotten the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go ahead and put on the voucher. Go ahead and put on there my bank's name and send it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have no choice. As a matter of fact, you know, follow my dot. You know, I'm going to watch my dot. You know,
follow my transaction.
I know you're tracking me, right? But I'm going to carry my my mobile device with me, and I'm going to go right to the bank. I'm going to say, I'm very excited because my government helped me do two things. One, I'm fixing to bail you out as an individual because I'm going to pay my mortgage payment because I lost my job, but they just gave me a year's worth of mortgage payments.
Mm.
And the individual would have been able to be in their home and not homeless,
right?
And the bank would have got the money. What? What? You know, that's just one faux pas. You know, and then I'm not going to talk about all 400 of them, but just listen. And then you begin to look at, you know, how we're handling every component. It's like, is everything that we're doing destructive? If it's just the wrong way, is it some way that some, you know, adolescent would handle something, you know, you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you think about a rebellious people. God says he puts youthful leaders over them.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be 100 and youthful. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You could be wise looking on the outside and young on the inside.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I see.
Oh.
That's just the color hair.
Oh, oh. Right. Oh. Oh, you know, like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, the bailout.
Detroit.
The Detroit bailout. I don't know how they're going to do that.
Well, they sent all that money to bail out the Detroit.
Oh, the car, cars. The car, auto, yeah. Auto industry.
The auto industry.
And we actually sold Fiat, but it's being reclaimed, I noticed. Yeah. Ford owned Fiat.
Really?
From what I understand during that time, and they sold it. They went bankrupt.
And there was... Remember, too big to fail. Well, it fell. I mean, look.
Mm-hmm.
Look what's happened to Detroit, the Motor City. And talking about giving that money back, there's 45,000 homes that have been abandoned. I think that number's even less, conservatively 80. Speaking. Is it 80?
I think it's 80.
Look at that.
50% unemployment. And the school, it's just, it's another paradigm of going like, oh. That's right. It's like being on the Titanic. Oh, my feet are wet.
Right.
What meanest thou this? You know? Yeah, what meanest thou this?
Oh, they said feet are wet. Unsinkable.
And so then, of course, it's unsinkable, right? So you don't even think it. You're like, okay, well, let me just get the stuff in my cabin and bring it up on top of the bed because obviously there's a plumbing issue on the Titanic here. And let me go down to the ballroom and just dance with the rest of them while, you know,
they fix this Rome small burns. Matter.
You know, and they're all, everything's going, and it's like, oh my goodness, the ballroom's wet too. And how long did they go without just saying, I am wet all the way up to my shoulders. This is not good.
Right.
This is not, and it's pretty cold.
Yeah.
You know, this is not good. And that's not an ice cube. That's an iceberg. Like, I mean, you know, how ignorant are we?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to be negative, but hey, if your feet are wet, you know.
Catch a clue.
And you checked your plumbing. You know what I'm saying? You got things right, and you're looking around, and then your knees are wet.
Hmm.
You guys are thinking, do I know how to swim? Have I ever swam before? Has this generation ever swam?
Hmm.
You know? And the scary thing is, we just have people splashing around with little duckies and tubes and... Like little kids in a tub playing around going, woohoo! I was like, you're not supposed to be wet. This is inside the boat.
Right.
It's not supposed to be going like this. And today, and this is why I'm bringing this up, is today, and if you heard yesterday us talk about, you know, what's happening with Secretary of State John Kerry in Israel as they're releasing these prisoners. They say, shame on America. Egypt saying, shame on America. Today, it's reported by with CBN News that the president is meeting with the negotiators on both sides in the White House today.
Today.
You know, God, this is important. You need to know this. God's right.
Oh, yeah.
He's always right. And he even wrote down how things are to help us understand the future right. So if you want to be right in the future, you just read the Word of God and you pray that God will give you the grace to walk in it and believe what God says. And it's going to happen, but you just won't be like the wet feet Titanic making crew. And it's all about Israel. It's all about Israel. And when you, no matter what happened in America, and we're not as relevant as our pride would say it is, you know, and but we're loved, the people of America are loved by God, but our the relevancy of our fledgling experiment, 230-year experiment, is not as important as Israel when you look at what we're doing right this very moment. The whole world has been stirred upside down since this current leadership has gotten in to position. I'm talking about a biblical perspective behind the news, God's news behind the news, because you're seeing the news. But what's really going on?
That's right.
And isn't it interesting now that it's all focused on Israel? It's all focused on Israel. And in the past, it's reported that every time Israel was fighting a war, and you name all the different wars that Israel had to fight, that Russia was the one supplying their adversaries with weapons. You know, the Lebanese war, the 1967 war, all the different wars. Russia was always coming down like, hey, you need a gun? And this is really, really not well. And so it's like everything. I mean, imagine, I know that living in the crosshairs, if you've heard that, you know, as John's sharing. But the whole thing is that the reason why the Israel's in the crosshairs, the adversary is trying to push Israel to do away with the apple of God's eye. I mean, the church and the synagogue. First Saturday, people, then Sunday, people, is what they say. That's what they say.
Yeah.
It's like, what about the Monday people? Why do you always bring us up, you know? What's right. up with that? I know there's a lot of sand over there, but listen. You know what I'm saying? I was watching the news where in Egypt, they're fighting in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood is uprising, saying that they're going to bring death and mayhem or whatever if they don't put Morsi back in and all that. But they're doing all this in front of this beautiful ocean. And they could not enjoy the beauty of God's creation, all this violence and hatred. And I'm thinking, Lord, we are so, enemy's so messing us up as a people when we were meant to enjoy this life. I'm thinking, this is just a beautiful beach and body of water and all that hate. And they were looking down at into the fight. And if they just would have looked 90 degrees to the left, they would have seen the beauty of God. And there was no war out there because men can't, you know, walk on water unless they're with Jesus. And it was just free from all the turmoil, all the different things. And I thought, man, you're just missing the beauty.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, you know, it is a lot of gray stuff and sand over there. I mean, it's not the most. But if you go inside the houses, the beauty over there, they work really hard on the inside of their homes to make it look just immaculate.
Wow.
But they invest nothing on the outside. It could be because of the climate and the weather and all.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And but hopefully, you know, Ron Laney will be sharing that with us, you know, coming soon on the air about, you know, Egypt. But the, or Turkey. But it's just, it's not good. And there's a lot of things going on right now. But then you look, you know, and we should honor our current president, whoever our president is. We should pray for them. And our current president is now beginning to go around the country, and it feels like he's running for office or something because the speeches are so, I mean, we talked about speech. You know, if you miss the incubation of faith, the necessary thing, you know, how you know, one man's speech turns the world around.
Mm-hmm.
And don't underestimate the power of our president to be able to encourage the people to go in the right direction, or the dangers of going in the wrong direction. But when you walk away feeling like, wow, that was so encouraging, but then you look around and you go, but everything's so opposite of what was just said, you know, that we're told that we know situations by the fruit.
Right.
And we need to continue to pray for our president, pray for the First Lady, Michelle, pray for their daughters, pray for the, they need wisdom. I can imagine all the decisions that are having to be made every second. I remember him being interviewed early on, and I guess you'd have to be this way, but he said, but I like it. He likes it. So that's the type of personality that can handle, you know, that kind of, you know, decision making or whatever. But you give me 400 decisions in an hour, I get deer in headlights, right?
Put a fork in me.
Right. Let's just go sleep on this.
Yeah.
Don't bomb that one, bomb that one. Don't do this, get that, and get those things out of the air. Anyway, but God holds the leaders' hearts, the king's hearts, and we can say in our sense, even though, by the way, in America, the people would be considered the king because it's a government by the people and for the people, and we send representatives called representative government to Washington, D.C. It's a republic.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole American heart is held in God's hand. And to pray, because God can direct it like a water course. And but these are pretty interesting times. I mean, and we're just looking at it, and it's like there's so many issues you can't even, you know, it's like, okay, got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless God plugs the hole in this Titanic, it's going, the fact that it's still even floating
is a miracle.
Floating right now. And the thing about it is that I want to encourage you this morning in knowing that you're not crazy. Shutting yourself down and denying reality is not going to help, but getting a grid for it is important. You know, God's news is behind the news. So we're looking at right this very moment that the president, who has, you know, based on the reports of the news that we have seen, beginning with the first speech in Cairo at Cairo University, when the uprisings all began, and remember that the Green Party wrote a specific letter to the president during all the Arab Springs and the uprisings, just like the other Egyptian and other Arab uprisings that took place. And they said, we want help too. We want the same thing happening in our government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was no response to the Iranian people. And the Green Party didn't respond at all to them. Mm-hmm. And now that's one of the greater threats for Israel.
All right.
And it's just like, you know, whether you know it or not, and I'm not definitely don't know what people know in the context of that. The way it's playing out is just like, hey, this stuff is all against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
This is all against Israel. But, you know, God said, he says, all the nations around her will be a trembling cup. And that in this, he's going to deliver Israel. So there's don't worry about Israel. Just realize that if you're not right, when this time clock clicks over to midnight, at the midnight hour, and it seems like it's clicking and ticking.
Mm-hmm.
But things are happening so rapidly that it's not hard for anybody to see anything happening rapidly. I mean, the past is like, man, that'd have to, so much stuff would have to happen before that would happen.
Right.
And now so much stuff has happened in such a short time. People are like, in a moment.
Any moment.
In a twinkling of an eye.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, our Savior would come back. But understand, that's the dispensation grace is over at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. And but then he says very specifically that you've got to, these days require wisdom. They require wisdom. And what that means is wisdom is not just knowledge. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. So first of all, if you don't have any knowledge of God and you haven't been in the Word, you need to get. And you have no wisdom outside of God. So you're going to need, you have earthly wisdom, but not godly wisdom. Get in the Word of God and begin to abide. And if you haven't abided, go to iabide.org. We have a simple plan for you to abide. But then secondly, understand wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. I mean, have you ever been around the folks that are talking about knowledge all day long and says, okay, so what are you going to do with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will only talk about something for so long before we do something. You know, it's like, we're going to do something. And it's like, because I'm, you know, I just couldn't do it. And the thing is that it's hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about today called complete faith, which means you talk about it and you do it.
Mm.
Complete faith is when your works accompany what you're believing God for. And so I just want you to pray for Israel. Pray today. Pray for our president. Understand that he is a man. Listen, Elijah was a man like you are. And look what happened. I mean, God took him away, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that appeared on the Mount Transfiguration. He's a man. And President Barack Obama is our president, and God commands us, is where commands us to pray for him if you want a peaceful life. And if you want a peaceful America, pray for him. You know, the very song in Great Britain is God Save the Queen.
Mm.
I mean, why not God save our president?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not? Don't judge him. Pray for him. I mean, that's a difficult job for anyone. And I know that President Bush said very specifically early on, he says, it doesn't matter who gets in the office. Pretty much they'll do exactly as I have done and all others have done, because there's other things going on that they cannot control.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. He's really stuck to his statement that he said he's not going to judge any president that is actually sitting in office.
Right.
That's a wise thing.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Especially one who's held the office before.
And that statement proved out right, because he's done everything
yeah.
that the former president and there's other things and forces. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is it legal to read your Bible at work during break time? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I am a dock foreman at a prominent company in St. Louis. I was told that I could not read my Bible, specifically my Bible, while I had idle time working on my job as well as a dock foreman. And my question is that an infringement of my constitutional rights? Because other people that are employed here, they also read the Bible. But I was told that I could specifically.
Well, reading the Bible is not a banned act, and it's certainly not an illegal act. And if they allow you to read material at work during break times, you certainly should not be prohibited from, in this particular case, reading the Bible. It's not a banned book. It doesn't create a religiously hostile environment, and there really should not be any problem with this.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
There is nothing, I mean nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God. Which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this,
right.
you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can write your own devotional. Listen,
right. just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin, because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And joining me is Pat and John, of course.
Well, you know, we were talking about Israel and what's happening out in the Middle East and how the president is getting ready to have negotiations and kind of see if they...
In the White House today, ooh, with the negotiators from both sides,
both
the
Palestinians and Israeli. But you know...
And it's over Jerusalem.
The capital.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know that... Yeah. You know that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right now. Thank you. Right now, the things don't always appear, you know, there's always something happening in the background. You know, you look at something at face value and you're like, that's interesting. But behind the scenes, there's always something that's happening. And we were seeing, you know, over the last year and a half, there was an uprising. The Arab Spring happened in Egypt, and you saw that the Muslim Brotherhood was empowered. You saw this radical Islam taking center stage. And then a year later, all of a sudden, there's a change. I mean, who would have thought that quick on the anniversary, just as quick as they were positioned in power, they mm-hmm. were brought down? Well,
supposedly. Morsi, you're talking about the Muslim Brotherhood?
Yeah, Muslim Brotherhood. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening in the background right now, just so that you know, you can get an understanding and a picture that, you know, maybe all this is all radical Islam or mm-hmm. what's happening.
Right.
But right now, 1,400 kids were gathering in the city, in the desert, actually. And
Of Egypt.
To pray. Wow. I mean, if you're watching, you know, just the external, what's happening, you don't have perspective. But we want to listen to a segment from CBN as they begin to share what is happening in Egypt and maybe what's been happening all along. But you got to hear this.
Well, here's one sign of hope for Egypt's future. 1,400 children gathered in the Egyptian desert recently, asking God to change them and their nation. The first ever One Thing Kids Festival was broadcast live by Sat7. The event was held in a historic desert center for Christian prayer. Egyptian children as young as 8 attended, leading worship and prayer. Festival organizers say God will bless Egypt because of the faithful intercession of the children.
What's so cool about that, by the way? What's so cool about that? You know, that part of what God says.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked about earlier, you know, if you want to be part of right, get into God.
Mm-hmm.
He says that Syria, Israel, and Egypt will be in alignment with each other.
Mm.
All three. You'll be able to travel straight up, and they'll all be in agreement.
Wow.
They'll all be with God.
Wow.
Amen.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, That's very cool. Very cool. But who'd have thought 1,400 kids in the desert, One Thing, praying and going after God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the beginning. I mean, I
don't want to make light of that, but when you're over there, it's like, it's all desert. It's just like, they just went to where they hang out. No messing with you.
Right.
It's a hotel called desert. No.
Yeah, right. There's a reason why they have their tents a certain way or their buildings a certain way. But yeah, that's beautiful. The young people praying. Which is beautiful because I saw the adversary go after the young people in the most aggressive way across the world ever seen probably in the history since probably...
What's a systematic plan?
Since Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, went after the young people and to see the revolt mm-hmm. against... So you're not going to use me a weapon of rebellion, but I'm going to submit to God and pray in the wilderness, in the desert of Egypt. And how profound is that? Because that was the journey of Israel, was in the wilderness praying to God, right?
Praying to God. So we're going to see some really awesome things. I believe we're going to see some really awesome things happening outside of Egypt. Continue to pray. Pray for everyone in the Middle East because we need God. We need God in the Middle East. We need Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the hope of the world. And to see that these young people were willing to go out there and pray and pray for their nation, let me tell you something. This is not over. This is not over, but it takes the church. It takes all of us standing together. And I want to encourage you to, you know, when you think of the church, don't think of the church just in your country. You know, the church is all of those that have accepted Lord Jesus Christ that are spread all over the world. So there's not, you know, although there's a church that gathers in America, there's a church that gathers, you know, in South America and Egypt and Pakistan and India.
Syria,
yeah, have a global perspective of the church so that you can stand with your brothers and sisters and refuse to look at it in a box. Well, those are just the Egyptians. No, you got brothers and sisters there. We need to pray for them. We have brothers and sisters in Syria right now that are caught in the middle of this war. And we don't want to see them, you know, being persecuted any longer. But hopefully in today's program, we're going to get a chance to talk about the persecuted church in China, what's happening there, and how much we can learn from them.
Right.
Well, you know, you think about, imagine you're in this room, and it's just a regular room that has a door on it. And on the other side of that door, God is on the other side of that door. Provision is on the other side of that door. Forgiveness is on the other side of that door. I mean, everything, just the ebb and flow of a fruitful, joy-filled, blessed life is on the other side of that door. And if you knew this, and you were going through, in your room, you're going through your daily life, all the things that happen, the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, but you're doing it outside of God. But then on the other side of that door, you know God is there. And people told you who's on the other side of that door. And all you can do is imagine it, because even though they say that you've heard from God and that was God speaking to you, you don't have yet a grid that was God yet. You don't know it. You will one day, by the way, if the door opens for you, you'll know everything. You'll see God from the beginning of your life and how he was involved in it. But you don't know that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine that. Imagine that here you are living your life in this room. You have a family or you don't have a family. You have a job. You're living your life. You're going to work. You're living whatever. But you know it's hurting. You know, you're trying to figure things out. You know, on the outside, you know, you're all whatever. But the inside, you know, you're terrified. You don't know how tomorrow you're going to make it. Everything is a threat to you. Maybe you're reacting out of anger to hold people back from possibly taking you down. Or maybe it's, you know, you just put a smile on your face, but inside you, your heart is just shattered and it's broken. Whatever, you know, you're alone.
Mm.
Even though you're with people in your life, in your room, you're alone.
Mm-hmm.
But you know there's this door. I mean, you know, there's been times when you know, proverbially, you try to cover up the door. You painted it the same color as the room, your life, so you kind of camouflaged it. You kind of moved the furniture around where you didn't even pay attention to it, but that door was always there. I mean, it was just always there. And every time you think you pretty well forgotten about that door and what's on the other side, you bump into somebody else that's opened the door in their life. And they start telling you what they've experienced. And you think, well, I've just got to know, but what's it going to cost me? I mean, if I open that door, I mean, this is my life. I can figure this out. I mean, granted, you know, I live a treacherous life on the inside, although outside I tell myself it's okay. And I just kind of blinded. I'm in this rut, which is a grave with both ends kicked out, just doing the same thing over and over again. And not refusing to ask myself the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Because I'm scared I'll answer it. And it's like, there's no meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I went to the coffee shop and somebody began to tell me, you know, man, I was in this room and you know, for 25 years of my life, you know, I just totally, my parents was in a room like that. And they told me that they walked through that door, opened it a long time ago. And the things on the other side of this door, I'm like, wow, that sounds good. But I was wondering, can I still have what's in my life now and have what's on the other side of that door? I mean, it's just like, let's make a deal where I can only have door number one or door number two or room number one and room number two. But if everything that I need is on the other side of that door, everywhere I go, people are telling me about it. Mm. And I'm telling you about it right now. I mean, you could do what you want to, but you know, even when you sleep at night, you hear the proverbial statement, the door's still there. And the interesting thing is, it's like somebody's knocking on it. It's like somebody's knocking on that door. And you're thinking, you know, if that knocking would quit, I could forget about this door. And whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but hey, you know, I'm living my life without whatever's over there now, right now. And it just, I just can't grasp. And besides, look at all the things I've done. God, you know, if I open that door, you know, man, I don't think God would even invite me in because of all the things I've done in my life. All the you know, it's just bad. I mean, I hear about God and all them holy people and stuff, and he wouldn't want anything to do with me. And I can't deal with all that rejection. I couldn't think about me opening the door and everybody else has this wonderful life with God on this other side of the door and everything's being met. God's going to reject me because of my life, my darkness, my sin, and my journey of darkness and all the things I sought to find pleasure that never brought pleasure in my life. And now I'm just left undone. But there's still a knocking at the door. There's a knocking at that door. I can't go away. And imagine everything that you would ever need. They tell you everything that you would need, everything that you, the very one that created the room that you're in and created you, that gives you the very air that you breathe, is still kindly on the other side of that door. Not going to come through that door unless you put your hands on it and you open it up. I mean, he put the door there. Because prior, there used to be a time, you have to understand, when people were in a room like you're in, but there was no door, there was no way out. I mean, you were just stuck. That was it. You know, you live, you die, that's it. You know, because of all the things that darkness does to our life, sin does to our life, there was no door at all. But now, what he did was, God had, he brought in a construction crew, and he says, listen, I want those who want to open a door to have access to me. I want them to have access to me. I'm not going to, it's going to be the same way. I'm not going to, you know, push my way into their life or anything because I want a relationship with them. But I want a door that will be openable, that they can open to come if they choose to. If they choose to, they can come open that door, and then we can be together. Yeah, and I, you know what? I want a way where, when because of all the darkness and all the sin, I want to be able to, when they come through that door, I want them to be able to be totally like brand new, you know, like I'm just, not only do I want to make sure they're the wrongs and the sin and the, you know, the greed, the lust, the relationships, the whatever, that deep things in your life and heart, that I don't want that to be on. I just want to forgive them of that and remove that from their life. And I'm not even going to remember it. When they come through this door, I'm not even going to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like a bridegroom carrying a bride over a threshold. When they, I'm just going to be like, oh, look who's here. That's the kind of door I want. I want a door like that, that it's not a magical door. It's a miracle door.
Mm.
And when you walk through this door, this is what God's, I installed this door. And when you walk through this door, it's going to be like night and day. I don't know if you've ever seen, sometimes they do things in movies where it's black and light on a movie, and then they walk through this doorway and it's color, they colorize the movie on the other side. And they walk back to the door and it's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. We got this black and white life going on in your life now inside this room, but if you open that door, God's going to bring color to your life and meaning to your life and destiny to your life. And he's going to restore things that dark life, dark room is taken away from you. I mean, he put a door in. But no matter what you do, I know you tell people you're all right. You tell people you're okay. But at night, you're just hearing this. And it just won't get away, does it? It just keeps on happening. Mm-hmm. You know who that is knocking on the door of your heart? It's God. Think about it. He could blow that thing off the hinges.
Mm-hmm.
He could blow it off the hinges. He could blow it off the hinges. But you know what? This is the whole thing. He loves you so much. If he did blow it off the hinges because of your sin, you'd have to be blown away too. This door is so significant that it has to be used. As a matter of fact, it's the only access to him. But he designed a specific door that if you walk through this miracle door, then supernaturally, because of the design of this door, by the way, that has blood over its doorpost, when you walk through this door, this gateway, this door, that's the only way, but you can walk in and be in the presence of God, and you won't be blown away, and the door won't be blown away. I mean, he's not going to, if he snatched the door off, his very presence would destroy you because he's holy. But understand this, if there was a way that you could get in his presence and get the fullness of who he is, the blessing, the love, the provision, the awesomeness of who he is, and not die, that'd be cool. Mm-hmm. But how can I get through it? And what is the store? And I'm going to go to bed, and all of a sudden it's... Yeah, you tell everybody you're not paying attention. You tell everybody you're not a part of it, but you know, you hear it every single night. You can't even pass a Bible without hearing. You can't even pass the pastor without hearing. That Christian in the coffee shop at the Starbucks is like, I just wanted a Frappuccino. And it's like, but that's God knocking on the door that he established. There was no door prior to this door being established, which means you can access God. You can walk through this door, and it's the only way to him. And that door, let me tell you who that door is. That door is Jesus Christ. There was no way to him. There was no way to him. There's no way to deal with the things that's in our life outside of this doorway being established. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born all man, all God, walked as we walk, yet without sin. And he, God, at just the right time, built this door. At just the right time. They talk about in a letter that Paul had written to this crew in Rome, you know, we always, you know, it's, we call it the Book of Rome, but it's a people that was in Rome, and he was writing them a letter. He said, at just the right time, God built this door. At just the right time, God offered up his son as a sacrifice, the blood that had to be applied to the door. And as soon as Jesus got on that cross, willingly allowing them to put him on the cross, he was paying the price that everything that we did in the dark room, so we could have access to the light room. And we could walk through that door of Jesus. And as soon as he died, the veil in the temple that divided man from God, the dividing wall that divided man from God, it split from the top to the bottom. I don't know, 30 feet high or whatever it is. It just ripped. Why? Because that was the moment that God installed the door. But the thing is this. This is the thing. He can't snatch it off. If he snatches it off and his presence manifests in your life without you coming through the door and having the blood of God over the doorpost of your heart, you get judged. He does. That's not what he wants. He wants you to be forgiven. He wants you to be cleansed. He wants to restore you. But the doorway, Jesus Christ, is the only way. So don't live in this dark room anymore. Understand he knows what's going on in your life. That's why he established the door. And that's why, by the way, that's why he actually didn't have a door before Jesus, because man would have been destroyed then. But he provided a doorway now for us to get into the room of light, the room of provision, enlightenment. And understand everything inside of you says this can't work. And that's why you're living in that dark room. But there's something supernatural is going to happen to you when you walk through that door, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Something's going to happen to you the way that you think and the way that you feel, because you're going to be forgiven. You're going to be restored. You're going to be called a son and a daughter of God. You're going to be a part of the family of God. And he's going to say, enter in. I've been waiting for you. Thank you for opening the door. Thank you for accepting my son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. Enter into your reward.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Oh. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you. But you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell,
mm-hmm,
and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging, is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com, and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link, and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFN TV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side. You know, being from Detroit, you know, there's a lot of different things that go on, you know, from New Jersey or, you know, down in New Orleans.
Well, they don't have football there, do they?
No, but they do got hockey. They got
hockey.
Check it out. Yeah, they got an app for, like, hockey rules. They got an app on, like, how to make ice. They got an app about, you know, the preseason, the postseason. They got an app about how to watch hockey.
Wow.
Is that designed to make you go to sleep, or what's the purpose of that?
No, that's to what to watch when you can't watch baseball.
Baseball.
Or football. You got to check it out.
Really?
Did you know there's an app for the VFNTV.com daily radio program?
I didn't know that.
Now talk to me. That's the app I want.
Yeah, tell me. I mean, even people who do watch hockey got to check this out. Go on iTunes, go on your Android, and type in VFNTV. And you hear all the content. You hear everything that we got going on right now, the daily live VFN radio program. It's like taking VFNTV with you. On the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I guess that's me. Also joining me is John and Pat. If you missed that last segment, you really need to hear it. It'll encourage you. And also, you can share it with your friends. You can go to the app, VFNTV app. You can go to our Facebook, or just go to VFNTV.com and look at all the options. And you can go to the VFN Torch, and you can share this.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's somebody out there right now that, listen, don't believe what they're telling you, they're not hearing God knock on their heart. They're hearing it because they're hearing it because God loves them. And just get them that one segment and let them hear it, that it's going to encourage them. It's going to really encourage them. You're going to see some people just come to walk through that door. But they're the only ones that can open it. You know, I was looking at Proverbs, the wisdom moment for today. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, you know, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Think about that. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And man. You know, so many people are saying, you know, they love the Lord, and it's like, is there any faithfulness or love around your neck here right now? It's like, I mean, he says, you know, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Think about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. It's long-suffering. It doesn't boast. It keeps no records of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil. It always rejoices in the truth, and it never fails. I mean, so always staying in that, not in your, I'm a prophet, you know, I can lay hands on the sick and they recover, or I got wisdom, I can teach. It's like, well, that's considered a tingling cymbal or a banging gong.
Mm-hmm. That's right,
outside sorry. Of not having love in your life. Believe it or not, it really is. It's what God says, First Corinthians chapter 13. But he says, so let love never leave you, bind them around your neck. Let faithfulness. I mean, faithfulness is so powerful. It's a powerful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But yet, there's very little beauty going around about faithfulness. There's always a loophole in every situation, every relationship, every commitment. There's a loophole in it. Obviously, life's not perfect and things happen. But if every relationship you have has a loophole in it, you're just not faithful. Mm. You're just not faithful. Because being faithful is something before God that it's going to require suffrage. It's going to require you to do without sometimes. It's going to require you to, it's something that God rewards. Mm-hmm. He's faithful to us. He's mm-hmm. faithful to the faithless. And he says, you know, we're supposed to imitate the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Lord God, forgive me for the times that love and faithfulness has left me. Bind them around your neck. Think about it. Bind them around your neck. Mm. Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, it's like, it's an obvious thing. When it's wrapped around your neck, people, that's a faithful man. That's a faithful woman. That's a loving man, a loving woman.
No swoosh or nothing, but.
Right. Right. And think about it. It's so important. He says, even write them on the tablets of your heart. Which you have to abide with God for what we're talking about. You got to hang out mm-hmm. with God to be able to, him to impart this into that's our right. lives. But let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. In other words, it's what you meditate on. You're thinking about, listen, I want to be faithful in this situation. You know, I told my boss if I ever do leave here, I would give a 2 weeks notice. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to leave well, and I'm going to arrive well. And if things don't work out well, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to be faithful in that situation. And he says, when we do this, then you will win favor. People say, well, I don't have favor on my life. Well, you're not. Are you loving? Are you faithful? Are you faithful to God? I know we say this all the time, but you know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. If 97% of the professing believers, regular church attenders, are robbing God, they're not faithful mm-hmm. to God with his tithe. I mean, come on. How can you expect to find favor with God and man when mm-hmm. you are not even faithful to God with what he's entrusted to you? When you got one job, God bless you with one job, and now you're out looking for some other job. Mm. It's like, be faithful where you're at. Realize that that's not, I mean, you can switch around and you can find, this is America right now. I mean, it could change. Where do you work at? Where they chain me to that rock and I work here. And he says, and if you'll do this, if you'll let love and faithfulness never leave you, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablets of your heart, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God, which means there's a way to win favor and a good name in the sight of God. And man, listen, people right now are looking for somebody who has the ability and binds and writes on the tablets of their heart, binds around the neck, love and faithfulness, because they want to be able to give favor to somebody to begin to lead in their communities, in their churches, and in this nation. Listen, today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4. Chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
You know, the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we know we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV, anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world,
flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.